Luke chapter 20, verses 27 through 38. And again, some of the religious leaders have decided to test Jesus. Some of the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus with a question. "Teacher," they said, "Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife, but no children, the man must marry the widow and have children for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless. The second, and then the third married her. And in the same way, the seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman died too. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her?" Jesus replied, "The people of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of taking part in that age and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. But in the account of the bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise, for he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive." These are our scripture readings for today. Thanks be to God. Haggai is working with those who were exiled to Babylon, and who now the king of Persia has given permission to come back to Jerusalem to rebuild their homes there, and not only that, but to rebuild the temple to worship their God instead of the pagans. Unfortunately, there were a group of Samaritans and some other neighboring groups who didn't want Jerusalem to be rebuilt, who really opposed the rebuilding of the temple, because they could vaguely remember the power that the Jewish people had, that the God, that their God was with them, and that they were a strong nation. And they were afraid of this, so they opposed it. And they stopped the building of the temple for 2 years until, as in our reading today, King Darius said, no more. They are free to build their temple and to worship their God. But after 2 years, the people are kind of lackadaisical about getting involved in building the temple again. They're looking at the foundation that they had completed, and they're thinking, this is not our temple. This is not the temple that Solomon built. It's not as glorious as that temple. And so they really weren't interested in finishing it. So Haggai, speaking words from God, is saying, come on, people. We need to finish this temple. God is calling all of his children from everywhere to come back to Jerusalem. We need to finish this temple. And no, it's not as glorious as some of you may remember Solomon's, but it is the Lord's temple. And that in itself makes it glorious. Bless you. As I thought about that reading from Haggai and what he was saying to the people, I remembered the church that I was brought up in. It's roughly about the same size as your church. And I can remember Sunday mornings that every single seat was full. If you were a child in our neighborhood, Sunday morning you were in Sunday school. But it doesn't look like that now, does it? The church that I attend the other three Sundays of the month, our congregation is roughly the same size as your congregation. There are plenty of people, if we say we're having a supper or if we're doing something and are trying to raise funds for something, that are right there to help, but they're not there Sunday morning. And how many times do we hear someone say, well, you know, this church used to be packed. What are we doing wrong that this church isn't packed now? I think what Haggai is telling us is that we need to stop thinking we're doing something wrong. That the reason the church isn't packed is because we're not warm and welcoming, or we don't have a six-piece band playing rock music, or all of the other reasons that we seem to hear. I think what Haggai is trying to tell us is that no matter how small we are, we're strong. We are a community of people who worship God. And while a stranger may come in and say, whoa, you don't have very many people, to God, this place is glorious because it is a place of worship. Those who come, come because of their faith. They come to hear the scriptures, to sing the hymns, and to be part of this community. You just sold 390 sub sandwiches in this community, so you know the support is out there. And you know that in having done that, you can raise money to do works in the community. This is a strong church. We are a strong people. If something happened, and maybe a windstorm, maybe a tree comes down, and something major happened that had to be repaired in this church, would you walk away? Would you say, we're too small, let's find someplace else? No. you would rally and you would rebuild. Not because you think rebuilding is going to bring in 100 people every Sunday. You would rebuild because this is a place of worship. This is glorious in God's eyes. And you have made it happen. You are here for anyone who walks through the door and needs you. You are here Sunday morning and you leave and you take the good news with you for anyone who may be in need to hear it. Haggai wanted the focus not to be on the gold and silver of the old temple, but to be on the fact that they were rebuilding the temple as a place to come and worship. Just as without a second thought, we would rebuild any of our churches to be a place of worship. As I thought about the other two scripture readings, I wondered how I could tie them in to what Haggai was talking about. When Jesus talked of the resurrection, he said, "You're not going to be married in the resurrection. We're going to be like the angels." When they resurrected the temple, it wasn't like the original temple. But in God's eyes, it was something much better. And in the resurrection, what we will have will be so much better than what we have here on earth. What I would want to leave with you this morning is to never be discouraged that your numbers may not be 100 people a week, that sometimes there may be only 10 people. To always know that you have the strength to come to this place, to worship, to carry that good news forth. We're told, Jesus has told us, that where two or three gather in his name, he's there. We have the strength. Paul is telling in his commentary, in his scriptures this morning, don't listen to the false prophets who are telling you the end is near. And I believe we have to listen to that too. There are many that think because our churches are dwindling, because people are turning away from religion, that the end is near, that God's not going to put up with this any longer. We don't know when Jesus is coming. But we have to stay strong in our faith. And we can't let those false prophets win by making us think that because we are a few, we don't matter. So I encourage you to stand strong in your faith, to never get discouraged because you're thinking of the past and the days when the churches were full and Sunday morning the children were in Sunday school and not playing basketball or soccer or whatever. And to praise God that He has given us this house of worship to come to and the people who make up the congregation to be within fellowship. Amen. Amen. We have come to the time for the sharing.